probably all know by heart. There's a few things I want to point out about these scriptures to you, if I may. May I?
Yes, you may.
Okay.
Yes, you may.
Hallelujah.
Please do.
I appreciate y'all coming to church and helping us and supporting.
What chapter? Basketball?
Chapter 3.
John
3.
Thank you, sir.
John chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. I was talking to the Lord. He just dropped this into my heart. I said, okay, thank you, Lord. That's what I'll preach on. Lord always does that. Amen. You know, as a minister, I don't know if you're not a preacher, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about, but as a minister, ministers always are concerned about what they're going to preach on next. How am I going to put it? What's my next sermon? How am I going to put this together? I've preached and I've preached and I've preached this and I've preached and preached and Lord, what do you want me to say next? And He never fails to lay something on your heart that He wants the people to hear. So, amen. It's all from His Word. Most of it is things we need to be reminded of. You know, and Christ Himself wants us to remember His words and to look at it, meditate upon it, think about what He said, let it soak in, let it enter into your heart so that you can think about it, meditate upon it. The word meditate really means to mumble or to yourself. You ever see me sometime?
Too much.
What I'm doing, I'm meditating. It means to mutter. It means to mutter. It means to say it. You know, do you ever do that? Do you ever talk, like what people say, talking to yourself? What you're really doing is you're muttering. You're saying the words of God to yourself, and where you can hear it with your ears, and you're saying it over and over, and it's coming as you speak it, you hear it to yourself, and the Bible tells us to do that. You just meditate, mutter, speak my word to yourself, and listen to yourself say my word. As you do that, it will unfold in your heart. And you will receive from me. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is living. It's not just printed on pages. It's there for us to know what it is that God says to us. But they are living words. Amen. And within its pages, in its words, are hidden treasures that we find all the time. And I got news for you. It's not going to run out. We're not going to run it dry. We're not going to get all the gold out of the stream. There's as much gold in there as there's ever been. Amen. John, the third chapter. Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus. Verse 13, let's start there. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, he's standing right there on earth talking to Nicodemus in the flesh, right? He's standing there talking to a man in the flesh, in a body, as a man. Speaking to him as a man. Speaking to a man. But he said the Son of Man is in heaven. Glory. Now that's the first thing. We've talked about that one before. Christ in spirit, in His heart, in His mind, in His spirit, He is in heaven. He's with God. He's with the Father. When you are in the Spirit, when we are been joined to Christ, born again and joined by the Spirit of God, baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit, then you are like Him in spirit. You are in heaven, in heavenly places. Bible says in one place, we are raised up together to sit in heavenly places. We're talking about in spirit now. Amen? So amen. That beautiful, wonderful, unspeakable, unexplainable joy that you feel and that you have is from heaven. Did you know that?
Yes.
It's from where God is, where the throne of God sits in heaven. That's where it's from God Himself. And is in Christ. He brought it down. He brought heaven down to earth. When Jesus came to this world, He brought heaven with Him. He brought the Spirit of heaven, the Spirit of God with Him. And so He lived, He walked, He talked, He thought, He slept, He ate. Everything as a man does on this earth, but He did it in spirit. Jesus walked in spirit. He was in the flesh. He came in the flesh. The Bible says if any man denies that Christ has come in the flesh, he's Antichrist. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Do you believe that? And so He walked among us, but He also walked in spirit. He was heavenly minded. Heaven was in His soul, in His thoughts, in His heart. The Father was always there with Him. And He delighted in the law of God. He delighted in the will of God. And He walked in the will of God. Every thought that He had was in the will of God. Every word that He spoke was in the will of God. Everywhere that He went and everything that He did and all that He accomplished was the will of God. Amen.
Amen.
And so now that we're born again in Christ, the same thing happens to us. Not that we're as Christ, perfect in every way, because we are born of sinful flesh, of Adam. Christ was not born of Adam. He was born from heaven. Amen. He's the second man, Adam, from heaven. Not from Adam, but from heaven. Amen. From not of this earth, but of heaven, but of heavenly descent, heavenly origin. But He became as man and became as sinful flesh. Not that He was sinful, but He became as flesh as we are. And praise God. I could go on that. Let me just go on with the next verse. So, but anyway, as He was in spirit, so are we in Him. We ourselves are sinful and we fail and we wrestle against the flesh and against this world and against our own sinful nature and keep it under and reckon ourselves dead daily, reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. And when we do that, then we're walking in spirit as Christ walked. And John told us that we should walk as Christ walked. So, amen. So in Christ Jesus, thank God for Jesus, that we have a means of escape.
Amen.
We have a way out in Christ. We have a way to live. We have a better life in Him. We have something better to speak of. We have something better to talk about. Just like Jesus did. No man ever spake like this man. They said, go down there and arrest him. The soldiers came back and said, where's he at? I told you to go arrest him. He says, never did a man ever speak like this man. In other words, the very words of Jesus, the very presence of Christ in His demeanor, in his self was so wondrous and so amazing and so unexplainable, so mysterious and yet so wonderful, so beautiful, and so powerful and so authoritative. Christ spoke with authority.
Yes.
No man ever spoke or spake, or no man ever talks like this man. His very words halted them. His very words stopped them from arresting Him. He didn't threaten them. He didn't draw a sword to fight them or to resist them. Christ didn't do anything to resist them. He simply spoke. And His words turned His enemies away, defeated His enemy. Same way with us. We speak the Word of God. Did you? How many saw that video that I shared on Facebook last night? I don't know if you saw it. Some lady owned a business. She's standing there at the counter. She's got the video, the camera on. And the man comes in to rob the place with a gun in his hand. And he walks up. Did you see that? Walks up to her to rob her. Says, "Give me your money here. I'm here to rob you. I want your money." She stood there and said, "I command you in the name of Jesus to get out of here. Get out of my store." And she kept saying that, and that guy just kept backing up and backing up. Pretty soon he turned around and walked out of there. She didn't have to draw a gun or anything. She just spoke the word. And the devil has to obey. Amen. That man sensed the authority and the power and presence of God, and he had to yield to that. Praise God. All right. When we walk in Christ, we have the same authority. Verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Amen. Now, here he's speaking of the time the children of Israel were in the wilderness. And if you read the story in the book of Numbers, they had gone to war to fight against a certain man who knew that they were there. And he had come down from, I forget exactly where he was from. Anyway, I think he was up in Canaan somewhere. And he came down and he captured some of the Israelites, took them captive. So the Israelites said, "Lord, give us strength to go against these our enemies and we'll defeat them. Just let us defeat our enemies." And so God allowed them to do it. He heard their prayer, gave them the strength and the ability, and they went out against this king and his army and defeated them. And they came back, brought their captives. And right after that happened, they began to complain again about where they were. How many times has God done wondrous things in your life, and the next thing you do is start complaining about something? I've done that. I'm sure that most of us have done that. God will give you a great victory or give you a great blessing in your life. And the very next thing that comes out of your mouth, "Why did you bring us out here in the wilderness to die? There ain't no water. There ain't no food. And we're sick and tired of this manna. Our soul loathes this manna, this bread from heaven." God heard that. Let me tell you something. One of the worst things you can do is complain and grumble. Amen. At God. And they grumbled at God and grumbled at Moses, the servant of God. You know what the Lord did? He sent fiery serpents among them. Snakes. They just come crawling out of nowhere. Thousands of them. Can you imagine? Ooh, Lord, turn loose a bunch of snakes on you. Boy, you're gonna be treading on. Jesus said, "In my name, you'll tread on serpents." Boy, there's gonna be treading on serpents. I don't want to be treading on no serpents. I don't care if the Lord did say that. Lord, I don't want to be treading on no serpents. Get me out of here. Get me out of this place. You know. And here's these snakes come crawling into their. To their dwellings, everywhere you look, every barrel you turned over, every corner and every nick and cranny, every corner of the house you'd find a snake, and the snakes bit them, and many of them died, many of the people died from the snakes, and they began to cry out to the Lord, and they said, "Oh Lord, we've sinned." They come to Moses and said, "Moses, please intervene for us. We've sinned against the Lord. We realize what we've said and what we've done. Cry out to the Lord for us that he'll get rid of these snakes. And, you know, this is terrible. And we're sorry for what we've said." So Moses, as always, went before the Lord. as a mediator between them and God. And the Lord says, okay, make you a snake, a fiery serpent. He made it out of brass, put it on a pole, and stick it up there and hold it in front of the people. And everyone who looks upon the serpent will be healed. So everyone that had been bitten by the snakes, all they had to do was look. All they had to do was just look. They didn't have to pray or cry out or do any other anything in order to show or prove themselves to God. They were bitten and they were dying and they were suffering. He says, just turn and look with your eyes. And the moment they looked, they were healed. As we draw upon this picture here, we see God's plan unfolding. From the moment that He came to visit them in the land of Egypt, and all the way through that ordeal, we see the plan of God. That which God had in mind to do even before the world was began to unfold before us in type, in shadows. As we recall the story of Israel and Egypt and Moses leading them out, every time we turn a page, we see a type of Christ. He sent Moses to deliver them, a type of Christ. They're in bondage, a type of sin. He sent the death angel into Egypt to kill the firstborn. The Lord says, take a lamb and slay it, and take the blood and apply it to the doorpost. Amen. So wherever their dwellings was, wherever their house was, they applied the blood across the front of the door and down the sides. And when the death angel came and saw the blood, He passed over. That's what Passover is. If you ever often wondered what that feast of the Jews called Passover is, that's what it was. The angel of death passed over. Hallelujah. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So on and on, time and time again, we see the type of Christ. You eat the lamb, roast it, and eat it in a hurry. And you eat it with unleavened bread. Don't take time to put yeast in the flour. Just make it flat bread, because you're going to be getting out here in a hurry. We ain't got time for the bread to rise. That's going to take half the night or take all night. We ain't got time. Just make flat bread, eat it, and we're getting out of here. Praise God, brother. The Bible says that we should with unleavened bread. Amen. Unleavened bread, partake of the Passover. Amen. Christ is not mingled with sin. We should partake of Him. Amen. And realize that He is pure and holy and godly. And we shouldn't mix Christ in with anything of this world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If we're going to partake of Christ, let's take Him as He is and not try to make something else out of Him. We can't put the world in with Christ and partake of Him. He is pure. He is holy. He is who He is. And we must receive Him as He is. We ain't got time to dilly-dally around the world. We got to go with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We haven't got time to mess around with other things in life. If we're going to go with Jesus, let's go. When Jesus called His disciples, remember when He called His disciples and they were down there fishing, the Lake of Galilee, and they were in their nets, in their boat, mending their nets with their father. Jesus called them. He called them and He said, follow Me. The Bible says immediately they left the boat, they left the nets, and they left their father, and they followed Jesus. I can't imagine how that father must have felt when his sons just suddenly got up and walked away and said, hey, where do you think you're going? Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. The Bible says that they were called the sons of thunder, and we've talked about that. James and John were the sons of thunder. their father, Zebedee, the sons of thunder. And the reason I think he's called that is because the man thundered out loud when he saw his sons walking away. He was angry and got mad and shouted at them, and so they're the sons of thunder. But when Jesus calls, we must follow.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Let's read on. So we see time and again as Christ is bringing back to the memory of Nicodemus the things that are so prominent in his mind about the history of his people. He's speaking to him here about those things that he is so familiar with, of his own history, of his own nation, of his own people. He's certainly familiar with the story of Israel, the deliverance of Israel from Egypt through Moses and the giving of the law and all that happened there. And Christ is saying it's the same God, the same one who brought you out, the same God who provided for you in the wilderness, the same God who passed over you and delivered you out of the house of bondage. They were in bondage for 400 years, for over 400 years. They had been grown used to the idea that that's what they were, slaves to Pharaoh, slaves in Egypt. You were born a slave, you will die a slave. Your mama was a slave, your grandma was a slave, and your great-grandpa was a slave. Everybody's a slave. That's what we are. You can't expect any more. You can't have any more. There's nothing else you can look forward to in life. You will spend all of your days as a slave to Pharaoh. This is what was in their minds. But God heard their cry and saw what was happening to them by the taskmasters who were so bitter and so violent and so abusive towards these people. And when God says it's enough, then it's enough.
Amen.
Sometimes we wonder, God, why is God waiting so long? That's His business. But when the Lord says enough is enough, it's time to bring them out. It's time to get my plan going here. Amen. Something that I've planned on from before the world even was. I'm going to show them my power and my glory. I'm going to show them who I am. Hallelujah. And when he called Moses down there, he said, go down there and tell them, I am, have sent you. When they ask me, who is it that sent me down here? Amen. We've never heard of this God before, but he said, you tell them, I am, sent you. Hallelujah, I'm the God of your fathers and I have sent you down there. So God is revealing himself to his people, and through all that they did, he was with them in the pillar of clouds and the fiery pillar at night. Through the parting of the Red Sea, they were all baptized unto Moses in the sea and in the clouds. He provided for them in the wilderness when they wanted water. He said, strike the water with the rod, and the water gushed out of the rock. God split that rock in two, and the water gushed from the ground and came up through that rock and out and flowed down the hill and created a huge river or lake. So that all the multitudes, there were hundreds of thousands of them that came out of Egypt, and they could all gather around the banks or the edge of that water and drink and get all that they wanted. God provided for them in the wilderness. And God is showing us that his will, his plan that he had in Christ is being showed us here in shadows, in type. Paul said that Christ was that rock that followed them in the wilderness, that provided water for them when they were thirsty. God always provides for his people. Amen?
Amen.
And so we see a picture of God providing for those whom he has called, whom he has chosen, whom he leads. And so on and on and on, God is reassuring. God is reassuring Nicodemus by what Jesus is saying here, that the God that I'm talking about is the same God that brought you out into this land. It's the same God. And God has a reason and a purpose for everything that He does. Now listen, He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That's verse 15, I believe. Is that right? Even so, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, this is verse 15, but have everlasting life. Now, we all know what John 3:16 says. But Christ is stressing what God is doing. How many wants to know what it is that God is doing right now?
Amen.
Sometimes we think, well, He was the God of my childhood. But when we say it that way, we're just putting God in our childhood. How about is He God right now? I got news for you. You've changed. How many times have I said that to God? Lord, I sure have changed down through the year. But it always comes back. It's always the truth. God never changes. If He's the God of my childhood, He's the God of my adulthood. He's the same God that brought me out then. He's with me now. Things change. Traditions of men set in. The minds of men become dull by their own traditions and belief systems. But God never changes. And God is always, He was ready to speak. When God's ready to speak, He speaks. When God's ready to do something, He does it. It may happen suddenly. Christ came suddenly. Suddenly He shall come to His temple. Suddenly He's there. We're looking for the Messiah, but you ain't the one. We're looking for one. Yeah, the prophets say something about someone coming, but nah, you ain't Him. So man can't see what God's doing. But those that can see, those who do hear, hallelujah. I want to know and I want to hear and I want to see what God is doing and what God is saying today. Not what He did 1,000 years ago, but what He's doing today in 2018. What He's doing now. I thank God. Lord, y'all remember that. That's my history. Yeah, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and Nicodemus said, I remember that. Well, you know, them are bygone days. Them are miraculous, miracle-working days. Yeah, that was a wonderful thing. And he's sitting there as if God is dead and God has forgotten him and God is not like it used to be and God's not who He is and He doesn't do those kind of things anymore. God just ain't the same God He was. He changed His mind about a lot of things. Yeah, I know why He lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Yeah. Them people were bitten and sick and the Lord made them heal. He made them well. He made them well. Yeah, I can remember that. I can see Nicodemus sitting there listening to Jesus. Yeah, that's right. He sure did. Yeah, I remember that. I've read that several times. You know, my daddy told me that story one time. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, heard about that. And suddenly Jesus says something. As Moses lifted up the serpent, even so I must be lifted up. What'd you say? God's doing something in your midst. God sent His Son. God sent the Son. God is working now. God is speaking to you now. If the Son be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And he that believes on me will never die, but have everlasting life. Your fathers are dead. They ate manna from heaven, but they're dead. He that eats this bread, he never die. God is doing something now. The next verse. For. And that little word, F-O-R, struck me. For God. The word for is a preposition. It's to indicate a purpose, an intended goal, to indicate the object or recipient of a perception, a desire, or activity. For. Because. The reason. Because. God. And He's the object. He's the reason. God. The same God that brought your people out of Egypt. The same God that shook Mount Sinai. The same God that gave you the law. The same God that spoke like thunder from heaven. And fire burnt upon the top of Sinai. The same God that gave you Moses. The same God that split the Red Sea and the River Jordan and brought down the walls of Jericho. The same God. Glory to God. Let me tell you something this morning. The same God that did those things is the same God that we worship today. Jesus is saying it to him. For. Because. He that believes on me will have everlasting life. If I be lifted up, why should I be lifted up? Why should you be lifted up? He knew what he was talking about. Nicodemus wasn't stupid. He was a brilliant man. He was a leader of the people. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was an educated man. He was smart. He was intelligent. He could read between the lines. You are going to be lifted up. Why should you be lifted up on a pole, on a cross? If I be lifted up, everyone who believes, just like when they looked at the serpent, when Moses lifted up that brazen serpent, everyone who looked lived. If I be lifted up, everyone that looks at me are going to live. Why? Why should God do something like this? Why should this happen to you? Who are you? And he tells him, for. The preposition, because. Because God. You ain't hearing me. The reason is God. The reason I can live is God. Let me read you some definitions that I jotted down from the Webster. I love the Webster Dictionary. Because of. I like this one here. The word for, the preposition. In place of. Or in behalf of. Representing in favor of. In behalf of. Because of. God so loved. Behalf of who? In favor of what? God says, you will not die, but I am in favor of you living. You will not perish. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He came not into the world to condemn it, but that the world through Him might be saved. He's not talking about condemnation as we talk about it all the time in Christian circles. Don't be so condemning. That's one way. We're not talking about that. You know, a preacher can preach very condemningly, or a Christian can be very condemning towards other people. Critical, criticizing, condemning. But this is not what Christ is speaking of in this text. He's talking about destruction, annihilation, death. He didn't come to annihilate you, which He could have. You remember when Jesus was with His disciples and they went to a city of some, I believe it was somewhere in Samaria, and the men of the city evidently were against them and wanted to be violent towards them. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, shall we call fire down from heaven and destroy them for acting this way towards us? Evidently, these men were very violent men, and they were about ready to take a course of action against them. They were afraid for their very lives when they ran to Jesus and said, shall we call fire down and destroy them? What did Jesus say? You know not what spirit you're of. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And this is exactly what He's talking about here. He did not come to condemn the world, which He could have. When Jesus came to this earth, every single solitary soul was worthy to be damned. Every one of those Israelites in the wilderness, when the Lord sent the serpents among them, every one of them deserved to die. Every complaining, ungodly, ungrateful, unthankful heart deserves to die. Jesus said, God gave you a way. Look, and you will live. God has given you a way now. When Moses made the serpent of brass, he stood on the pole. Why in the world, I've often wondered, why did God tell Moses to put a serpent on the pole? Today, physicians have a sign of the same thing, of a snake on a pole, which is a signia of the medical field, right? The serpent on the pole. Why is that? I said, Lord, I don't understand. Why not something beautiful like a... How about a dove, or how about some other kind of real pretty animal of some kind, you know? A snake? And this is why He became sin for us. that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. Christ took upon Himself our sin, and we took His righteousness. The serpent represents that which was destroying them. The very thing that killed them is the very thing that He put on the pole. If they'd look at it, they'd be healed. Same way with Christ. He became all that we was in sin upon that cross. And if we look at Him, if we believe on Him, if we trust in Him, that's what the word believe means. It means to trust upon Him. To simply put your whole trust in Him. Your confidence is in Christ. When you look at Him, He took my place. He took my place. He took my sin. He took my place. And that's what He became. That's why the serpent on the pole. Christ is the same. Hallelujah. So, God in His wisdom. Hallelujah. That's why he put the serpent on the pole. God in His wisdom was showing them His plan. They didn't understand it. They didn't know it. But there it is. It's revealed to us. We see the story clear now. The deliverance of Egypt from Egypt into the promised land. We see Christ leading us into that promised land. Through His blood, through His sacrifice. Amen. Through all that He did for us at the cross. For, because, the reason why, in behalf of God. He's the object. He's the reason. God had a plan. And He said, I will do this in behalf of you. And I will do this because of you. And I will do this in favor of you. I will do this because I am love. Hallelujah. God's not hate. What God did then, He'll do today. Do you hear me? What God did for His people 4,000 years ago, He'll do today. God hasn't changed. He hadn't run out of love. God ain't run out of love. God ain't run out of ability. God ain't run out of power. God has not run out of concern and care for His people. He's the same God as He always was. Hallelujah. And what He has done in Christ, He has done. Hallelujah. For God taken into account. In order, the word for, preposition, in order to help. I like that one. In order to help. In order to save. In order to show His goodness and His mercy. In order to prove Himself. In order to make Himself known. God so loved. Hallelujah. God so loved. So, God so, that word so. God so greatly without Hallelujah. There is no bounds. God so is eternal. When you love something so, what are you saying? God so loved without bounds, without limitations. The width and the height and the depth of His love. His love is everlasting. God so loved. Not just God loved. For God loved the world. For God loved the world. For God so loved. God had such a passion. Let me tell you something. God has a passion for you this morning. God has a passion for your life. God has a passion for your circumstance. God has a passion for where you are right now. Whatever situation you're in, whatever is troubling you, God has a passion for you. Don't ever believe the devil. Don't believe what Satan tries to tell you, that God doesn't care about you. He cares more for you than anything or anybody ever could in this world. Believe that. I don't care how you feel or what you're thinking or what's going on right now in your heart and mind. I want you to look up and say, God, you loved me so much. And it doesn't matter. His love is greater than my problems. His care for me is greater than my situation that I'm in. Praise God. His concern for me, hallelujah, is greater than the bondage of Egypt. Well, I've been here 400 years. What's 400 years with God? It's nothing. Quit complaining. God's eternal. Your little predicament is nothing with God. God is eternal. God's love is eternal. His plan for you is eternal. God so loved. How much do you love me? We've read, how many times have we seen that posted on the Facebook? How much do you love me? He stretches out his hand and said, this much. He hung between heaven and earth of eternity and gave his life for us. Christ brought in eternity. He brought in eternal life through his death. He quenched the powers of hell. He put his foot on the serpent's head and crushed it. Think about that. Hallelujah. Did he die in vain? Was Christ's death 2,000 years ago? Was it in vain? Was it in vain? If I trust in him, will he keep me? If I trust in him, is he still the Savior of my soul? Is he still all that he said he was? If I trust him today, 2,000 years later, is he still the same today? Yes, he is. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what happens in the world, no matter how terrible the world gets all around, God is still God. And everything that happens is in God's timing anyway. God commands it, and it happens. So rest easy. If you get tired of laying on the right side, turn over on your left side and go rest. If you get tired of laying down, sit up. If you get tired of sitting down, stand in your feet, praise God. Relax and rest in God. Amen? Hallelujah. Relax and rest in God. Hallelujah. God so loved. There's an indication here of what Jesus is saying about his love. And this is something that God brought out to my thought, into my thoughts as well. God so loved, he already loved. Huh? This wasn't the beginning of his love. God already loved. Because of his love. Because God loved. Because because he so loved. He already loved. Before you were even born, he already loved you. Before he created the world, you were already so loved by God. Boy, that's a mouthful right there. That's an eternity full right there. And we can't hold that much. How great is his love? How great are your thoughts toward me, O God? They are more than I can count. They are more than the sands of the seashore. My God. Have you ever been on the beach? Picked up a handful of sand and let it fall through your fingers? How many grains of sand you figure is in a handful? Millions? Billions? That's just a handful. More your thoughts towards me, oh God, than all the sands of the seashore. How big is God? Nicodemus. Should be lifted up because God. Why should anything happen to me? Why would God let me go through anything in life? Why didn't he come sooner? We only speak from our perspectives. We only say things out of our limited understanding of everything. And we think that we're going to teach God something. Or we're going to correct God. Well, God so loved the world. The world. Not Mars. Not Venus. You're not women. You're not from Venus. Men, you're not from Mars. You didn't come from the loins of some alien somewhere. Don't believe that nonsense. You're God's creation from planet Earth. Now, to all of those who believe in the flat Earth, from flat Earth, you are from this Earth, from the dust of the ground. Are you made in his likeness? God so loved the world. The world was, what does that mean? Of men, of mankind. That's what it means. Simply means the society, the family of man. God so loved them that he, God gave. We give something, you do it willfully, willingly, generously, gladly. God loveth a cheerful giver. We talk about giving in church, you know, praise God. You want to give money, but give it cheerfully. Well, I have to give this money. All right. Here. Give it cheerfully. Amen. Give it gladly. Because you're giving it as unto the Lord. Boy, you see Jesus standing there, and he's standing there with his arm. He's looking at you with those beautiful, wonderful, loving eyes that just go down into your soul and into your spirit and through your whole being. And you can see his love and feel his love and all that. And you're looking at him, and you go, well, no, you'd be willing to just hear it. God, just take everything I got. Everything that I have, all that I am is yours. And that's what happens when you give money in the church. You give it as unto the Lord. You're not giving it to me or to this church. You're giving it as unto the Lord. Amen. So God is the same way. But he's more. He's even more so. So much more so. God willingly, happily, generously, cheerfully, wanting, desiring, passionately, lovingly, you know what I believe? I believe Jesus in heaven right now is probably on edge. Can't hardly wait to get down there to get my people. And the Father sees his heart. The Father knows the heart of the Son. And he sees the love that the Son has for the Father and the love that he has for his people. For those for whom he died and suffered and died and was buried. All the humiliation that he went through. And all the scorn and ridicule and rejection that he faced before Pilate. For me and you. All that he suffered for us. Jesus sees that and thinks about that. But he saw us. The Bible says, he shall see his seed. Through all, let's think about this. Through all of his sufferings on the cross, through his trial, through all the judgment that he went through, through all of that, through it all. You know, you hear songs about, through it all, I was on his mind, through it all, he was thinking about me. But the Bible says, through it all, he shall see his seed and rejoice. That means, look what I am accomplishing. Look at what all is going to happen from this. Adam had his family, and I got mine. I'm going to rejoice in my offspring. Everyone comes to God through me. We belong to Him. We were purchased by Him. He has the right to us. If anybody has a right, it's Him. The devil don't have a right. Nobody has a right.
That's right.
Nobody can dictate to you. Nobody can rule over you. Nobody has a right. Jesus is the only one that has the right.
Hallelujah, that's right.
He shall see his seed and rejoice. Amen. Because what he does is bringing in the children of God. And I know that Jesus must be on the edge of heaven saying, Father, are we almost there? Can I go now? He's standing on the edge of the shores of glory, looking down to this earth. And go, oh God, hallelujah. He's looking down on this earth. And he said, Father, is it now, 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 now? But because he loves the Father, above all, he waits. Can I go now? And I can hear the Father faintly say, a few more days. Just a few more days, son. To get our loved ones in. Wait a little longer. Please, Jesus. There are so many wandering out in sin. Just a little longer. Please, Jesus. A few more days and we'll get our loved ones in. He so loved the world that he gave his son. Not anybody else, but his own son. Not the elect angels. Not the best of men. But his own son. That whoever believes in him, Whoever looks to Him, whoever trusts in Him. The same God, Nicodemus, that visited you in the wilderness is telling you now, look to the Son. He that believes on the Son. God is telling you. The same God that sent you Moses. The same God that parted the sea. The same God that brought you into the land of Canaan is telling you here and now, believe on the Son. But we're waiting to hear from the Lord that God's talking to you now. I don't know, God don't do anything like He did. He's already done it in Christ. Believe on the Son. I'm waiting for God to show me the way. He's already showed you the way. I'm waiting for God to make a move. Man, He's already made that move a long time ago. The word has done and gone out. Have you heard? Have you heard the good news? Do you know in your own hearts? Do you see with your eyes and hear with your ears? Has it entered into your heart? The things that God has prepared for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of men. The things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But we see. Hallelujah. It's entered into us. To everyone who believes, it's now. It's right now. Hallelujah. I don't know all the things, but I see that they're there.
That's right.
I don't understand everything, but I know it's there. I may not be as smart as the next fella, but praise God, I'm in line with the rest of them. Amen. I got my number and I got my ticket and I'm on my way because I see the Son. Hallelujah. I see the Lord. And I see what He's done. Amen. Stand with me, everybody. God so loved the world that He gave. And that word, that, is another good word. That. He loved us so much. That. So much so. God loved us so much. So much so. He gave His Son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You mean God would go so far as to give up His own Son? He did. God loved you so much that He gave you His promise, that He did all these things. He did. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be discouraged. God has given you His word. So much so. Hallelujah. Why am I a Christian? Because God so much so. Why do I believe that I can live for God? Because God so much so did this. Hallelujah. How can I face my enemies? Because God. How can I make it through this? How can I make it through this? Because God. How can I overcome the enemy? Because God. How am I going to make it? Because God. Hallelujah.
Come on.
I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Yes, you will, because God is God and God said it. Man, I'm trying to encourage you this morning as Christians and children of God, because God is God. Hallelujah. Then because you are you, or me is me, I'm going to make it because I got a strong will and a strong back. Boy, I can take it. Just shovel it on, devil. I can take it. No, I can't. I'm going to fall to the shore as anybody else. But there's one who's able to hold me up. There's one who is able to make me stand. And I stand by His strength. I stand with the light of His face shining upon me. And the light in His eyes looking into my soul, assuring me, hallelujah, that's how I can stand. I look at the cross and I see the horror of the cross and what He did for me. That's why I know. Hallelujah, I can live. Hallelujah. He died for me, then we were all dead. If He died for us, then we were all dead in sin. And because He lives, I live. If Jesus was buried and rose up, so am I. Praise God. I am not dead, but I'm alive in Him. Praise God. I'm alive. I'm alive. You're alive. You're a Christian because God. Not because of your own self-assertiveness and your own little determination. I am determined, but it ain't because of that. I do have a will, but it isn't just because of my will. It's His will. I'm saved by the grace of God. He willed to save me, and as long as I believe that, and I'm going to trust Him to hold me. Hello. In the day of thy power, the psalmist said, thy people shall be willing. Are you willing?
I am.
I am. If the power of God is somewhere around here, I'm willing. In the day of His power. What does that mean? In the day that God rises up and does what He does. And that He did in Christ. Can the people come out of Egypt? Yeah, they can. If the power of God brings them out of there.
Right.
Praise God. Can the people, can we serve God? Yes, we can. If the power of God rests upon me. Can I make it through this? Yes, you can. You can overcome. Paul, you can overcome by the power of God. And I don't know why I said that. You do. You can overcome, and you have overcome through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He who looks on me, Jesus said, shall live forever. You're not going to die. You're not going to perish. I'm not going to annihilate you. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to put you under my feet and trample over you. I'm going to pick you up and let you stand by my side. I'm going to let you walk hand in hand with me. How would you like to walk hand in hand with the Son of God? Hallelujah. How would you like to stroll through heaven with Jesus? Amen. So would I. Father, I thank You this morning. You have encouraged Your people. Sweet Lord, Your words are so precious to us. Your work is so precious to us. Your sacrifice and Your love is so great to us. Help us to remember that always and to know that that is our strength. That is our strength to live. That is our life. You are our life, Lord. Thank You for smiling down upon us. Thank You, oh God, in our behalf. You have moved and acted in our behalf because You loved us so much. Help us not to be discouraged, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit will remind us, as You said, He will bring to our remembrance Your words, that we will not be discouraged and faint by the way. We will walk and not be weary. Run, Lord, and not be weary. Walk and not faint. As You said, we will mount up with wings as eagles and fly above the storms.